Welcome to Oakwood Bible Church. This is our online service, folks. Folks, strange times we're living in right now. We seem to be, we're shut down for now, but don't worry, we hope to be back soon. Wherever you're watching, folks, start a watch party, leave a comment, do whatever you'd like. We hope you enjoy listening
to us.
Throw up hearts, folks, whatever you like to do. If you're watching in your pajamas, that's perfectly fine. You can see I'm wearing my Sunday best, folks. My name is Mike Famiano. In a few minutes, you're going to hear from Bob Evans as he gives a message this morning. Folks, we also encourage you to tune in every day at 10 a.m. for a special announcement and a special message of encouragement. In a few minutes, Pastor Bob is going to give his Sunday morning message. If you're following along, and if you'd like to sing along as Pastor Bob does his music, you can look up some of the songs that he will be singing. Those songs are Farther Along, I'll Fly Away, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and Give Me Jesus. Once again, folks, we do hope you are comfortable. We'd like to encourage you, folks. We'd hope you stay positive. And do leave us some comments. Let us know how things are looking. Let us know how we're doing, folks. As Pastor Bob said, throw up some hearts. Have a watch party, folks. We look forward to sharing with you. Now it's time for Pastor Bob. We hope you enjoy what he has to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that very much. I'd like to just, once again, welcome you and thank you for being there, both of you. I'm really happy to have you in the audience. This is the Pastor's Study, so for those of you who may be tuning in from Minnesota or other parts of the globe, to see what old Pastor Bob is up to these days. We're in Kalamazoo, Michigan, at Oakwood Bible Church, where I'm serving as the interim pastor, and I have a little selection of tunes for you. I'm not sure if I'm going to do all those. Let's see. I haven't played this thing in like 3 years. My fingers are kind of arthritic and bent up, so I can't really get to these strings the way I'd like to. Nevertheless, we'll understand it all by and by. Okay. Tempted and tried, we're off made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested. Before I get to the chorus, I just want to mention that there's a lot of online church services going on all around the world today, and it's awesome. The body of Christ is still one, and in Jesus, we here at Oakwood, we're still one. But I wanted to say, you won't see this kind of stuff on every one of those, live broadcasts, okay? Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by. Let me just pray. God, would you please be with us today in a special way? We are somewhat anxious. Many of us are struggling today. We're feeling isolated and alone. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can cause us to come together and to be one in Jesus' name. So visit with us, I pray, oh God. Send your Holy Spirit to be among us and melt our hearts together as one as we worship you, as we think about you, and as we open our hearts to your presence and to your love. Amen. So here's another tune, another one of these old-fashioned ones, because these have something in common that you musicians will, of course, be aware of, and they have three chords. All right. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. away, oh Gloria. Fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Okay, I think I'm going to limit, I'm going to ration these verses and save them for another time, I guess. Here's one more tune that I hope you enjoy. This one, actually, it speaks to our situation a little bit, you know, that no matter where we are, what we circumstances we find ourselves in, the Lord is here with us, and we can lean on Him. So, what a fellowship, what a joy to find, lean on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, lean on the everlasting. Through that part, and appreciate you guys singing along. And I have a prayer. It's really nice, I think, for us to have Mike and his boys. I've got a technical crew here. They're not too visible. They didn't really want to sing along. I couldn't convince them. Mike's an elder here at Oakwood, and it's just been such a blessing to get to know him and his family. And as I have lived here in Kalamazoo and worked here at this church, it's been a real privilege. And so yesterday I reached out to another one of the elders, Ron Crowfoot, who is somewhere up north. I think he's up on the farm around Traverse City somewhere, I guess, somewhere up in there. And I asked him just to write a prayer and send a prayer so that, you know, you could hear from the elders here. And Ron is another just an incredibly excellent brother. It's just been a joy to get to know him also. And he has provided us with a prayer, and I'm going to read it. So you have to sort of hear this as coming from Ron. And Ron actually did some research, and he came up with an old prayer. It was published in America at the time of the Civil War, so it's got some of this kind of language in it that would be expected for the time in which it was at first uttered and delivered among the churches in America. So I'm going to ask you to pray along with me, and this is our intercessory prayer today. O Almighty God, who art a strong tower and defense to those who put their trust in Thee, whose power no creature is able to resist, we make our humble cry to Thee in this hour of our country's need. Thy property is always to have mercy. Deal not with us according to our sins, neither reward us according to our iniquities, but stretch forth the right hand of Thy majesty and be our defense for Thy name's sake. Have pity on our brethren who are afflicted with this current pestilence, coronavirus. Comfort them and draw them to yourself for both physical and spiritual healing. Shed upon the councils of our rulers the spirit of wisdom and moderation and firmness, and unite the hearts of our people as the heart of one man in upholding the supremacy of Thy law. and the cause of justice and peace. Abate the violence of passion, banish pride and prejudice from every heart, and incline us all to trust in thy righteous providence and be ready for every duty. And oh, that in thy great mercy thou wouldst hasten the return of unity and concord to our borders, and so order all things that peace and happiness, truth and justice, religion and piety may be established among us for all generations. These things and whatsoever else thou shalt see to be necessary and convenient for us, we humbly beg, through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All of God's people, I'm sure, are throwing up hearts as we all say amen together. All right. Yesterday I had an interesting and rather lengthy conversation. It was very surprising to me. With an old friend, a dear old friend, from my old church back in North Central Minnesota, a fellow by the name of Eric. I assume that he may be listening now. I told him I was going to use some of his material. What was kind of shocking was this bright aspect that he brought to a consideration of all the blessings that can, in fact, should be associated with what our nation and what the world is experiencing right now. In other words, what God intends for his people and for his church in the midst of this kind of incredible trial that we are finding ourselves in the middle of right now, sort of locked down in our homes, seemingly isolated or whatever. So the other day he's out, you know, cross-country skiing somewhere. There's still snow in Minnesota, I'm told, knee-deep. And so he's moving around on that snow with another dear old friend, PJ, and they're up in the woods, a place where I've been to, and I can just see it where this cross-country skiing goes on. And Eric told me that he said to PJ, this friend of mine, these two friends, and they're in conversation, Eric said, now keep in mind that Eric is a Swede, and Swedish people are not enthusiasts when it comes to having a bright outlook on the world. In fact, they're probably more given, they don't get much sunshine, you know, up in Sweden. And so stereotypically, of course, they tend to run a little on the depressive end of the spectrum in terms of personality and outlook. But Eric was so full of gratitude. It was infectious. And that's just something that I want to say. You know, fear, panic even. You know, you go out in the stores, it's kind of dangerous and so on. All this stuff is a bit, on the television and so forth. It communicates so easily. It's infectious. But so is gratitude. And Eric said to PJ, I bet I could think of 100 blessings that can come from this experience for the people of God in the midst of this trial. And so I challenged him. I said, list those for me, will you? let's talk about it. I want to hear what they are. And he said, well, just off the top of his head, I wanted to challenge him and have him write out all 100, but he just started talking off the top of his head and mentioned a number of them. And one of them was that, well, as a nation, we're humbled before God. It was indicated by the spirit of that prayer, you could see that, you know, in really hard times, people are somewhat humbled. They're shown the limits of what they're capable of. And this causes them to, as a result, cry out to God, because we know that we're in the midst of this kind of shaky situation in our world, and so we're looking for something that doesn't shake. And that's exactly what we have in God today, my brothers and sisters. We have someone, something, the eternal counsels of the Almighty, God himself, the very person of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his purposes for this world, his love for you and I. That stuff that don't shake. You look over here in Hebrews chapter 12, I think around verses 34 to 39, if I'm not mistaken. I read a sermon this morning by Tony Evans, one of my favorite preachers. And he's drawing a distinction there between the things that shake, which is this whole natural world and everything in it, including COVID-19 and all of the consequences that are associated with its spread in the world, whatever we may face in this world, in the natural world itself, it is completely shakable, that is, it is not eternal. But beyond that, friends, there is a whole spiritual dimension that does not shake, that is found in the very person of God and in the kingdom of God. And Paul has assured you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have been translated into that eternal kingdom. So whatever may happen, even as we sort of very weakly presented in that wonderful old song, what do we have to fear? What do we have to dread? Absolutely nothing, because we can completely lean on Jesus and on his great love for us today. So the other day when this all came down and we were prevented from meeting because of the mandate of the governor and so forth, and the elders here at Oakwood made this decision that we would not be physically gathering, that very day or the next morning, I opened up God's Word, and I have just been flooded ever since, every day in my personal devotions, with assurances of God's love. And I just want to share a bit of overflow from these thoughts. And this is just a collection of verses that focus on the love of God. Now, if you've been following the series that I've been sharing here at Oakwood, I'm talking about these core values of the church. We talked about knowing God. We talked about growing in Christ. Today really would be about loving God and loving one another. This is another one of these core values. I want to just say something about love, and that is, we wouldn't have the capacity to love, we wouldn't know what it is, if it wasn't for the fact that God loved us. So all genuine love comes out of our own experience of God's love for us. We love him because he first loved us. And that is the fountain for all of our precious experiences in the body of Christ. We can love God, we can love one another, we can love our families, we can love our neighbors, even as we love ourselves, because of the grace of God and the experience of his love. So here's some verses. I just want you to bask with me in this contemplation, which is not well organized, it's going to be spontaneous. I'll tell a couple of stories, and then it'll be shalom. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Listen to this. I have loved you. This is God. Here's what he says. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Does that not just land in a beautiful way in your soul and in your heart today? And do you not find encouragement in thinking of this? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now here's some more. We know where that is, John 3:16. Here's an Old Testament, again, from the prophet. I have made and I will bear. God says, I made you. It is he, Psalm 100, it is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. You understand that? He loves us. We are connected to him forever and ever. In that great experience of being loved by the shepherd of the sheep. And he promises us here that he will carry us. Listen to this. Like an eagle, if you want to find this verse, Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12, and I'm going to read those right now. Deuteronomy 32, 11 and 12, I love this. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, and I've never noticed this, catching them. Here is an eagle teaching its fledglings, its young, to fly. Putting them, under stress, if you will, momentarily. But only to catch them. I just find that so wonderful. As I imagine what that would be like. I'm falling, no, I'm falling. No, I'm caught. I'm thinking of these experiences that many of us have had in raising children when they're so small, and fathers and mothers lift up the children and sometimes launch them. And it's, there's a bit of playfulness about God's providence in the way that he leads us into these new territories, new experiences, teaching us to fly, to utterly to rest in him, to be buoyed, if you will, by those wings, those precious wings, under which we may find refuge and comfort. Don't you love that? Catching them. It's just see a like a mother eagle flying in the sky with its baby and allowing it to fall slightly, but then catching them when there's that sense of anxiety. I feel like I've been caught by the Father's love here this morning. And it's a beautiful thing just to be in his arms, bearing them on its pinions. He carries us upon his own wings, and the Lord alone guides us. Deuteronomy 32, 11 and 12. Now listen to this one. A few things from Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. Now says the Lord, who created you, he who formed you, fear not. Don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Nor shall coronavirus, COVID-19, will not consume you. Now, a bit of context. I'm not suggesting that it isn't possible for a child of God to become a victim, as it were, and to be affected by this virus. I'm not saying that. It could happen. But that self that has been redeemed, that deep person, which is that person that God has created you to be, no ultimate harm will ever come to that person who has been redeemed and called by God into the family of God. And again, though everything shakes in this world, and should we even come to the place where we no longer have occupancy here in our mortal bodies, God will carry us home. His love for us is not limited to our mortal experience in this temporal sphere of earth. His love goes beyond into the realm of eternity and forever and ever. We are his beloved children, and he is our Father and our Savior. And that's an awesome thing for us. So, therefore, we can easily obey this admonition that comes to us directly from our Heavenly Father. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And I love this one, and I know something about it. I can testify. This is Isaiah 46 and verse 4. Even to your old age, you see what I'm saying? Even to your old age, I am he. You may be transferring, as it were, through the realms of time and subject to the vicissitudes of material existence, including the experience of aging, the loss of capacity, etc. He doesn't change. He transcends this temporal world. And his love for us is never, ever compromised, weakened, diminished in any way. The second phrase here, and to gray hairs. I will carry you. God will carry us when we can no longer carry ourselves, when our frame is weakened. God is there in his strength to carry us. I have made, he promises, and I will carry, and he further promises, I will save. Well, on that list of, that Eric's list of blessings and ways in which God potentially is using this coronavirus season in our lives. There are a number of things, a couple of them I'd like to call your attention to, because these are very real. These are the things that he has seen in his own life that have happened as a result of this. It seems to be a cure, at least temporarily, to the deep polarization in our country. We have even people from different political parties in Washington that are actually speaking to each other, which has really had a healing kind of, I think, balm applied to the country as a whole. Folks are talking to their neighbors. We're more concerned about each other. We may be isolated, but through social media, through physically seeing one another in the yard, or even going up to the next door neighbor's door, knocking on the door, checking in. Things like this are happening all over America today. People are talking and getting to know one another. Think of the family time. These are all coming from this Swede, my friend. And they're so encouraging. The family time, the simple things that people are doing, playing Scrabble or whatever people do in their homes, as it were, and having fun as families and throwing their children to the ceiling and catching them, and all these wonderful kinds of activities that are going on in homes. And this is a deepening experience and so forth. He's also, and I've seen the same, lots of people are out walking and taking their exercise, probably more people than normal during the day because we're all off in our jobs and offices and so forth. People furthermore are thinking about things that really matter among themselves, in their relationships. Even on the social media, there's a seriousness about the conversations that we're having, the things that touch on just not only time, but also eternity and our relationships and how we care for one another. Now, he makes this observation about the American economy, and I think I'll pass this on to you because I find it actually wise and instructive. I'm not sure where he got the statistic, but he found it somewhere that something like 94% of American business, in terms of its supply chain, is rooted in China. There is this deep dependency that has been created within our economy in relationship to this. And I have to say it, I'm not political, as it were. I never say anything, you know, sort of political party stuff in my role as a pastor. But when it comes to communist China, we're talking about an ungodly system. We really are. We're talking about an atheistic system, actively atheistic, all right? And it's wicked. It just is. And we should not have this kind of deep dependency in terms of the supply chain to anything that is in this, coming from a source that is so anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-believers, etc. But I'm thinking more importantly, and there are a number of other things on this list, about our own supply chain with respect to our sense of well-being as individuals and as family members and as people of God. What does your supply chain for your emotional and spiritual health look like? Where is your dependency today? Are you dependent upon the things of the world? Or are you dependent upon what happens on Wall Street, for example? That's a part of the world that is shakable, my friends. There is no deep confidence that can ever flow into our lives from such a source. And we're reminded of those things, aren't we, during days like this? We need to go deeper. We need to find a true source, an infinite source of satisfaction. And frankly, this world does not supply it. Only in Jesus can we find this kind of stuff, the stuff that we need. So today I'm going to encourage you, and yes, I'm pulling this out one more time. What's your hope in Jesus? What's your trust in God? Once having done so, whatever happens, again, in this physical world, which is entirely temporary. Whoops. Excuse me. I'm going to sing that song. I think we heard it last time we gathered and sang it together. Give me Jesus. I'm going to try and pluck it out. Pray for me. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, you can sing it with me. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Amen. Shalom.